plan.
Good morning. We're a little bit behind. Today's daf is daf ayin in Zvachim. In theory, we should be finishing the seventh parak of the Masech. I don't think we're going to do that today, but we'll certainly put ourselves in striking position to finish. Tomorrow's daf...
A little short.
Yeah. It's a little bit short. It happens every now and then. Yeah, the two lines of ayin aleph. It's unbelievable. Okay, good. So tomorrow, really, all plans to catch up tomorrow. We're back on Samech Tes Amud Aleph, and we are still. We have one more sugya to do, and we're going to start the new Mishnah. Okay. Our topic of discussion has been for the past couple of days the topic of Malika. In the Beis Hamikdash, the Torah says that when you have a bird and you want to offer a bird unto the Beis Hamikdash, so there's another process, not the process of Shechita, which is the normal way to end the life of an animal, to permissibly end the life of an animal so that we'd be able to eat it, and that it doesn't become tummy, but rather the Torah says Malika. Cohen takes his fingernail and inserts it into the back of the neck of the bird and severs the neck that way, going through the opposite direction of what would normally be done. Okay, and the Torah says that's how you do it. It's a process known as Malika. Many different permutations that we've been dealing with for the past couple of days in terms of where Malika works and to what kind of animals does Malika work. What if I do a Malika that doesn't render it a good carbon? For example, we learned back in the Mishnah, what if I do a Malika with my left hand as opposed to my right hand? What if I do a Malika at night as opposed to the day? So the process is the same process, it just happens to be that I didn't do it the way I was supposed to or during the time I was supposed to. So is that going to be good? Meaning, when I say good, I mean, obviously it's not going to be a good carbon. Carbon has to be shechted with the right, not with the left. Carbon has to be done during the day, not during the night. I don't mean in that way, but I'm meaning good in the sense of, was Malika done? Is the bird not going to be an Avela? So that was the discussion that we had yesterday. On those issues, the Gemara says, yeah, the Malika is a good Malika. What was subject for controversy yesterday is, what if a non-Kohen did Malika? Right, that's subject to a controversy amongst a debate amongst the Amoraim. Rav and Rabbi Yochanan argue, what if you have a Zar, a non-Kohen who does Malika? So Rav was of the opinion so that a Zar is metame beveis abliya, meaning it's not Malika at all. It's simply not Malika. Non-Kohen simply has no right to do Malika, has no ability to do Malika. So he inserts his thumb into the back of the neck of the bird. The bird died without anything. And so the bird's going to be in the veil. That's the opinion of Rav. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, with a carbon in the base of Mikdash, even a non-Kohen does Malika, the bird is going to be saved from being a Nevela. All right, and that we left as a Machlokis yesterday. The Gemara ended off with a Braisa that supports the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. We're on Samech Tes Amud Aleph, and we are in the middle of the Amud, starting at the two dots. Tanu Rabbanan, Yachotei Malika Shilifnim, Mitame Begandam Abes Abliya. Okay. I mentioned yesterday, just a little bit of preface before we start this braisa, we're quoting a pasuk from Acharei Mos. This is Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yud Zayin. I did this yesterday, I'll just do this quickly today. We're going to be going back to this pasuk a lot today, so let's get comfortable with the pasuk itself. Chol nefesh asher tochal nevela utrefa. Anyone who eats the nevela utrefa be'ezrach v'ger, v'chibes begadav v'rachatz b'mayim. So you have to wash your clothing, you have to tov in the mikvah, v'tamei ad ha'arav, and you're going to be tamei until the evening v'taher, and then once the evening comes, you're going to be tahor. V'im lo yichabes, and if you don't wash your clothing, v'sara lo yichatz, and you don't tov in the mikvah, v'nasa avano, so then you got what to answer for. You have to bear a sin. Okay. The Rashi brings down over here, Taros Kohanim, Rashi, right, says that this pasuk is talking about the consumption of a bird. Although, quite honestly, right, for full disclosure purposes, Torah doesn't say that. Torah just simply says, Chol nefesh asher tochal nevela utrefa. If you eat nevela and trefa, you're going to be tamei. That's really what the Torah says, for full disclosure purposes. But, Torah Shabbat Peh, we have Torah's Kohanim, and it tells us that this pasuk is talking about the consumption of birds. As we've been discussing many times already, when it comes to birds, it's a nevela of a bird, the carcass of a bird, also gives off tama. But not through touching, not through carrying, but tumas beis habliya, for eating, for consuming. When you eat a kezias of dead carcass of kosher bird meaning kosher type, so when you eat a kezias of dead carcass, you're going to be tummy. That's what this pasuk is talking about. Okay, now let's put this, that's the pasuk. We're going to keep going back to that pasuk a number of times this morning. So we darshan. The Tan Rabban Yachol Yehi Malika Shilifnim Etamim Begadim Beis Abliya. I might have thought Malika done inside the Beis Hamikdash is going to be Metamim Begadim Beis Abliya. Hard to imagine. We're not talking about a regular Malika for a good carbon, right? With the Havamina. Oh, it's going to be an Avela. It's not. Meaning that's exactly what you're supposed to do. We're talking about a Malika gone bad. Right? Tamalama Nevela. So the Gemara says, we learn from Nevela. So the Gemara says, what kind of limud is that? Nevela is telling us that this is not going to be, right? Hanami Nevela hi. Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe if the Malika went bad, maybe it's a Nevela. What kind of drush is that? So Ela Tamalama Trefa. So the Gemara says, okay, the Torah says in this pasuk, if you eat a nevela or trefa, ma trefa shem mater sif se iser, af kol shem mater sif se iser. Yasa malika shilifnim, hovi mater sif se iser, aim etame begadim abeis abliya. So the Gemara says, that's what we learn from trefa. Because what we see from trefa is that ma trefa shein mater sif se iser. Look, if the animal's a trefa, trefa is where the bird has an internal organ which is punctured or severed. The bird is going to die. Although we'll talk more about that later this morning, about the exact definition of trefa. But an internal organ is punctured. And we know, you could shech the trefa, it's not going to be good. Right? You're not allowed to eat it. So just like trefa is eino materes esa iser, yatsa malika shim alifnim ho vihi materes esa iser. If, however, there's going to be a change, if there's some sort of matir, so then it's not going to become a nevela. By a trefa, there's no change. Meaning, what happens when you shech the trefa? Nothing. It's still a trefa. Right? Same thing. So the only type of malika, let's say it like this. If the malika makes a change, makes a positive change, so then it's not going to be tummy. It's not going to go tumas beis abliya. So, then the brisa says, okay. But now, from that position, we can go forward. If the Malika accomplishes nothing, so then it's going to be a Nevela. It makes sense. The Braisa says it. Hevi amole kachim b'chutz. What if I do Malika to kachim outside the Beis HaMikdash? Right? That's no good. Right? That doesn't accomplish anything. Mole chulim b'im b'fnim b'im b'chutz. Or how about if I do Malika to a non-consecrated bird? Also, does nothing. You are not allowed to put it up onto the Mizbeach. There's nothing you could do with it. It causes no change to it. Therefore, it's an Nevela. Period. Okay, that takes us through the Braisa. So the Braisa tells us essentially what we already know, but the Braisa gives us a source for it, right? The comparison of Nevela to Trefa, that in order for Malika to save it from being a Nevela, there has to be some sort of change, some sort of positive change. Positive change in this Braisa means, if I could put it up onto the Mizbeach, fine. If I can't put it up onto the Mizbeach, so then it's going to be a Nevela. Tanya Idach.
If you molek bifnim, it doesn't do anything?
Molek bifnim. Say materis. Molek bifnim does something. Right.
What does it do?
If it's a kosher malika, so then it allows you to bring the bird up onto the mizbeach. Oh. Even if it's. No. Bifnim over here means inside the Beis HaMikdash. Oh. Here, this Bryce is talking about. No, bifnim just simply means in the Beis HaMikdash. This brisa, although, again, for full disclosure purposes, is not really clear, is talking about when the malika, something was wrong with the malika. Like the examples that we gave previously. You did it with your left, you did it at night. Okay. Tanya Idach, we learned in another brisa. Yachol teh shchitas chulun lefnim v'kachim bifnim beim mechutz mitame abeis abliya. I might have thought that shchitas chulun lefnim. Okay, so I take chulin, I shecht it inside the Beis HaMikdash, or kachim b'mifnim b'mevechutz metameh begadim ha-beis ha-bliya, or I take kachim and I shecht it, not molek it, I shecht it. So I might have thought that you're not supposed to shecht, right? Shechting is not the way to kill the bird. The way to kill the bird is malika. So tamalama nevela. So the Braisa says, oh, Nevela. Nevela teaches us everything. The Gemara says, what is Nevela teaching us? I'm Nevela. I don't know. Could very well be. It's a Nevela. Elatamalama Trefa. Again, this Braisa does the same thing the previous Braisa did. It's the comparison of Nevela to Trefa. Ma Trefa, Shavos Bifnim Kebachutz, Avkol Shavos Bifnim Kebachutz. But here, the comparison goes like this. Trefa, one good thing about Trefa, it's pretty standardized. Meaning, if the bird's a treifa, it's going to be prohibited whether we are inside the Beis HaMikdash, outside the Beis HaMikdash. Once the bird's a treifa, we're not going to make any distinction of where we are. It's a treifa, period. If shechita, if we can mark some sort of difference being in the Beis HaMikdash versus out of the Beis HaMikdash, so then we're going to say that the bird is not going to be an avela. Okay? Now, and therefore, consequently, ematam and begadim beis ablia. Alright, that is the end of that brisa. Now, this brisa is more challenging than the previous brisa. The previous brisa, alright, we got the basic point in that if the malika does something, if it accomplishes something, allows the bird to be brought on the mizbeach, then that's fine. This brisa is much more challenging. This brisa is saying, if there's a difference between being in the Beis HaMikdash versus being out, so then the bird's not going to be an avela. What are we talking about? So the Gemara really struggles understanding this brisa. Bishlama chulin lo shava bifnim kebachos. Okay, look, if we're talking about chulin, so that I do understand. Meaning chulin inside versus outside. Inside you're not allowed to shecht chulin shebifnim. Outside you are, right? So there's a non-consecrated birds. There's a basic difference between being inside versus being outside. Okay? And therefore, it's not in the category, and it can't fit in this pasuk, because this pasuk is only talking about things which are shave, mi bifnim, mi bachutz. Okay, so chulin, I do understand. Ela kachim, idiv idiv psulim ninhu. But when it comes to kachim, it doesn't matter if I shech the kachim in the Beis HaMikdash or outside the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about birds. You don't shech birds. So what difference does it make if I'm inside or if I'm outside? And meanwhile, the Braisa says, oh, you see, when it comes to the shechting of kachim, right, if you shecht it inside, if I shecht it outside, I'm going to, it's not going to be an avela. What difference does it make? So Amar Rava, so Rav explains, no, there is a difference. This is interesting. Imo ilu lo shechitas chus lechayv karets lo soil lo le tahara midei nevela. Oh, there is a difference. I take a bird, I shecht it outside. You know what just happened? I violated an Isser in the Torah. A very serious Isser in the Torah. It's called Shchut Echutz. You have a consecrated bird that you shecht outside the Beis HaMikdash, outside the Azara, you violate the Isser in the Torah of Shchut Echutz. One of the 36 Isseri Kares. Wow. So, there actually is, interestingly enough, there is a difference. Now, it's funny, you could have argued, what do you mean? If I do that inside, it's not kosher, it's Shchita. Okay, but still, Shchut Echutz is an Isser. If I did it in the Beis HaMikdash, I wouldn't have violated the Isser of Kares. Yes, the bird has not been properly killed. Malika is a proper way of killing it. But at least we can highlight a difference between being outside versus being inside. Okay, Ashkechan Chutz. So now I see that shechting outside is markedly different than shechting inside. Penimi Nalan. So the Gemara says, well, again, same exact point. They're not the same. Pnimi b'chutz is not the same. So the Gemara says, all right, if all you have to do is just simply say, inside and outside are not the same, and it saves it from being an avela, so let's go the other direction. I do malika outside the Beis HaMikdash. Should be the bird's okay. Not to eat. We're not. This discussion is not about eating. It's just, it shouldn't become an avela. Right? Because look, if I did malika in the Beis HaMikdash, it's good. So I can make a difference between inside versus outside. Inside, it's a kosher animal. It's a kosher bird. Outside, all right, so I understand. I can't offer it. But at least it shouldn't be an avela. So I'm of Shumi Barashi, Dan and Davish Shalom Be'achshero, Mi Davish Shalom Be'achshero. Ve'ein Dan and Davish Shalom Be'achshero, Mi Davish Shalom Be'achshero. You can't do that. What's your argument? Well, since in the Beis HaMikdash, Malika works, so therefore outside the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to do it. I can't learn something from what I was supposed to do, which is inside, to something which I wasn't supposed to do. Meaning previously we were talking about shechting birds. You see, that's easier. That we could do. Because when it comes to kachim, consecrated birds, I can't shecht it anywhere. Meaning shechting, cutting from the front of the neck. I can't shecht outside, I can't shecht inside. So interestingly enough, we can make such a limud. But when we're talking about Malika, I'm supposed to do Malika inside the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not supposed to do Malika outside. I can't make such a comparison. I can't learn one from the other. Again, the Gemara says, V'lova Atanya. Wait a second, didn't we try to do that before? Minayin le'yose, shemala lo yeh, right? An animal that was disqualified through the psu of Yotze. The blood was taken outside the Azara. And meanwhile, so I shouldn't put up on the Mizbech, but if I do, it's fine, leave it there. And how do I know that? Shari Yotze, kashem be'bama. And we learned it from Bama. So aren't we doing what you just said you're not allowed to do? Learn from something that's okay to something that's not okay? So Tana Azos Torah Sa'ola Riba Samechle. So the Gemara says exactly what it said previously. That's not the real source of the halacha. The real source of the halacha is a drasha. The Bama is just a way to help us remember it. It's just a mnemonic. But that's not the real source. Okay? Quickly summing up. Okay? Malika. If I do Malika to a karban, to a bird that which has been sanctified, so is it going to save it from being an avela? So it depends. If done in the base of Mikdash and done properly, so of course it's going to save it from an avela. Right? You're going to offer it on the Mizbeach. You're going to, if it's a chatas, you're going to eat it. Of course. What if it's a malika that was done incorrectly, like with your left hand, like at night? Also, you won't be able to offer it, but at least it'll save it from being a nevela. The malika will serve the same purpose that shechita would serve, in that it saves it from being a nevela. What if I shecht the bird? So interestingly enough, obviously if I shecht the bird, I can't offer it up on the mizbeach, but interestingly enough, shechting the bird is going to also save it from being a nevela. If I do it inside the Beis HaMikdash, or if I do it outside the Beis HaMikdash, shechting is going to save it from being a nevela as well. Okay. The Gemara learned it out from a limud, from the comparison of trefa nevela. Shechita would save it from being a nevela, meaning if a bird dies, it's a nevela, it's a carcass.
Right.
And it's tum, it's going to give off tumma.
So what's shechita then?
So shechita means if I take a knife and I cut it...
After the bird is dead?
No. To kill it. If I shech the bird, so then also I've saved it from being a nevela.
Why would it be a nevela?
If a bird dies without a proper...
Oh yeah, like the bird is supposed to die.
What do you mean?
It died on its own.
Smoke inhalation. Whatever the case is. If the bird dies, so then it's a nevela.
Right.
And the Torah says at that point forward, now it's going to give off tumma. Now birds give off a funny type of tumma, meaning not touching, not caring, but ingesting, eating it. Fine. So what we're discussing, this whole page of Gemara is discussing is, What would stop it from being a nevela? What would prevent it from being a nevela? And the answer for sure is Malika. Malika for sure would. We're talking about a consecrated bird. And the chiddush of this Amud of Gemara is that even Shechita would as well.
If the bird is alive, then do the Shechita, there would be no exposure to nevela. And if it's dead, it's nevela already.
So. Alright, so let's discuss it afterwards. Okay, it's the whole concept is tricky. Okay. We'll stay after for more discussion. Okay. Malach v'nimtzes treifa. Okay, Mishnah. Mishnah over here discusses such a basic issue. Okay. Bird is a treifa. Now, you don't know that. You're not expected to know that. Meaning treifa is an internal organ which is punctured. Now, in general, the Gemara Nechulin is going to teach us. We'll get to it later on. We assume birds and animals are not a treifa. There's no reason to assume otherwise. Meaning a treifa is that this bird is going to die because one of its internal organs were punctured. We get to the fifth parak of Chulin, we're going to do an anatomy, and we're going to go through all the different trefas of an animal and of a bird. But right now, you don't know that. It's just a bird, you're in the Beis HaMikdash, and you do Malika. And after having opened up the bird, because remember, we learned how you have to rip open the chest of the bird and pull out the crop. And then when you start now fiddling around with the internal organs, you say, oh my gosh, it's a trefa. So now you learned it's a trefa. So obviously, let's start off with the most obvious point. You can't offer it as a karban, right? Something which you yourself can't eat, you can't offer up as a karban. Okay, so you're not going to offer it up as a karban. Is it a nevela? Okay. Is it a nevela? So let's talk about what we know, and then we can go to this Mishnah. Here's what we know. When it comes to an animal is a trefa. I shecht an animal. Forget, it's not a carbon, it's not, we're not in the base of Mikdash. We're just outside. It's a regular animal. Animal happens to be a trefa, and again, we didn't know it was a trefa, but it is. It's a trefa. And then we do shechita, and after having done the shechita, again, we open up the animal, and we see the animal was a trefa. Okay, is it a dead carcass? No, it's not. Absolutely not. It's not a dead carcass. It is an animal that went through shechita. Can I eat it? Of course not. It's treif. but understand though that the word has been so generalized. We overgeneralize the word treif. Treif is everything.
Does it give right? Pneuma, does it give
right. right. It's treif here means in the most literal sense that it is a treifa. Right. It's treif here. You're not allowed to eat it. But the shechita helps. Because shechita, as we've been discussing now, shechita accomplishes two things. Number one, shechita allows you to eat an animal. Shechita, two, prevents it from being a nevela. So this particular animal, it's treif. It's a treifa. It's punctured. It's going to die. But at least the shechita was able to prevent it from being a nevela. It's not going to give off tumas nevela. That's what we know for a fact. What we are discussing now is birds in the base of Mikdash and the process of Malika. Does Malika do the same thing that Shechita does? Now, if I just left the question open-ended like that, most people would say, yeah, why not?
But it's got to be a
choice. Malika is Shechita. It just happens to be that the Torah prescribes a slightly different format for how to kill your birds in the Beis HaMikdash, but why not? So the why not is going to be Rav Meir's point, and that's going to be Rav Meir's argument. Good. So let's start the Mishnah. Malak v'nimtzes treifa Rabbi Meir Omer ein ha-metamed b'beis ha-bliya. Okay, it's not going to give off tuma because you did malika, which in chulin talk means you did shechita. Okay, fine. So an offer as a carbon, we all understand, but at least it's not going to be nevela. Rabbi Yehuda Omer mitam a. So Rabbi Yehuda says no, it's going to give off tuma. So interestingly enough, your malika didn't do anything. It didn't accomplish the same thing that Shechita accomplishes. Okay, the svar behind Rabbi Yehuda, we'll get to later on.
That means it's like a nevela then by him?
It is. It's not like. It is. According to Rabbi Meir, it's a nevela. So that means that this bird now is going to give off tumah. Again, the funny tumah of birds, not the tumah of touching, not the tumah of carrying, the tumah of, if I eat a kezayis of it, I'm going to be tummy.
You meant Rabbi Yehuda, right?
I meant Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Amar Rabbi Meir kavachomer. Im nevelas behem Hashem etam bebemagav amasa shchitas ametaheres treifasa mitumasa nivlas haof she'enu metam bebemagav amasa enu din shetei shchitas ametaheres treifasa mitumasa. So Rameir says, let's start off with a simple argument. Okay, simple argument. First, let's compare animals to birds. Again, not shchita, not chut. I'm sorry, not kachim. Just regular animals to regular birds. A carcass of a dead animal, that gives off a lot of tumah. Maga, masa, touching it, carrying it. And meanwhile, when you shecht it, you prevent it from being an avela. Birds don't give off a lot of tumah. It only gives off tumah if I eat a kezayis of it, which I'm not even allowed to do to begin with. But if I eat a kezayis of it. So if shechita by an animal can prevent tumah, don't you think shechita of birds can prevent tumah? Okay, that's step one of his argument. Okay, in of itself, that's a wonderful argument. Now, step two. Step two of Rav Meir's argument. Now, let's go to Malika. You see, because Malika is essentially the same thing as Shechita. What does Shechita allow me to do? Eat the bird. What does Malika allow me to do? Eat the bird. It just happens to be that Malika is in a different context. Malika is with a bird which is a karban, which is offered in the base of Mikdash. Okay, the context is different, but the purpose is the same. Just like Shechita allows me to eat a bird, so too Malika allows me to eat the bird. And just like the Shechita of a bird prevents it from being an Avela, so too the Malika of a bird prevents it from being an Avela. Okay, so it's a two-step argument. It is to go from animals to birds, and then, which, that's an easy step, because that's both shechita. And then to go from birds, chulin birds, to carbon birds. That's a trickier step, because that involves a jump from shechita to malika. Okay? So it's a two-step. Rabbi Yossi Omer, So Rav Yossi says it's that second step that kills me. Rav Yossi Omer Dait Kenivlas Behema Shechitasa Matarasa Velo Malikasa. Yeah, I'm with you on that first step. I'm not with you on that second step. Why? Because of the rule of Dayo. Okay. Whenever we construct a Kal V'chomer, which is what we're doing right now, we are always limited. You can't, when you're, what Kal V'chomer means, I'm taking a halacha here and I'm extending it to over here. And why am I doing it? Because logic dictates. Here, right, where it's more strict and still a certain leniency would apply, here where it's less strict, how much more so the leniency would apply? That's your traditional, that's your classic Kal V'chomer. Here, Shechita saves an animal which gives off a lot of tuma from being an avela. So here, by birds, it also for sure should work. That's your Kal V'chomer. But Dayo says, when I go from A to B, the halacha by B can't be any stronger than the halacha by A. The leniency which I'm extending from A to B can be better. It's got to be the same leniency. What is that leniency? Shechita's metahir. Now, what did Reb Meir want to do? He wanted to take the law of Shechita and apply it to Malika. Well, but whoa, Malika's different. It's not Shechita. It's not with a knife. It's not from the front. It's from the back with a fingernail. It's different. So you can't take your law of Shechita being metahir and go from bird Shechita to bird Malika. Okay? Based on the rules of Daya. This is the...
That assumes that Malika is like more... I'm using the word Chamor.
It's different. It's just...
It doesn't relate as much.
It's just different. I don't know...
Daya means that you can only do a similar type of case.
No, you could take it...
You can't take it to a case which is...
Daya means I can't extend it beyond what it is. Here, it is Shechita. That's it. Shechita's metahir. So when I go to birds, I have to say the same thing. Right. Shechita's metahir. Once I say Malika's metahir, that's already now I'm expanding.
According to the upshot, but then everybody would agree that if you did Shechita on this bird, it would not be tummy.
Okay, fine. And as we learned on the previous page, that may be true. But what Reb Meir is doing is he wants to take the laws of Malika and apply it using a Kal V'chomer, but we are limited with the concept of Dayo. Now, Dayo is strong, and the Gemara right away jumps in and supports Rav Yossi. Rav Meir lo darish Dayo? Rav Meir doesn't hold of this concept of Dayo? It's not true. He does. V'ha Dayo daraisi, he did tanya midin Kal V'chomer. Ketzad? Here, we are going to go through some of the basics of Kal V'chomer and Dayo. Kal V'chomer, how does that work? We find in the Torah, Rashi and Chumash says it a couple of times. There are 10 places in the Torah where you have Kal V'chomer. Okay. 10. Don't ask me now. Put me on the spot and ask me for all 10. I couldn't give you all 10. But one of them is so obvious. The end of Parshas Baloska. Miriam speaks Lashon Hara about her brother. Okay. And right now I'm speaking Lashon Hara about Miriam. So Miriam is speaking.
teaching us.
Right. Miriam speaks to Lashon Hara about her brother. And I don't understand. Moshe separated from his wife, right? He thinks he's holier than thou, right? Aren't we all holy, right? And we didn't separate from our spouses. And okay, all right, fine. That's not to get too involved. Vayomer Hashem pisama Moshe ve'Aaron ve'Miriam su shlashtachem al ol moed ve'yetsu shlashtam vayered Hashem ba'amud anan ve'yamod pesach alol ve'yikra Aaron and Miriam ve'yetsu shtehem. So Hashem calls out Aaron and Miriam, and he says, "I'd like you to come to my office." And Hashem explains to Miriam and Aaron, you know, Moshe's not the same. Is he right? He's not the same. Lo chen avdi Moshe b'chol beisi ne'emanhu. Pe'al pe'al daber bo, ma'arev lo b'chidos, v'smunas Hashem yabit, u'madu'a lo yireisam lo daber b'avdi b'moshe. His nevuah is not the same as your nevuah. He's different. So therefore, he leads his life differently than you. Okay? Now that you understand that? And then Hashem gets angry and he goes, Miriam has Tzaras. Okay. Vayomer Aaron El Moshe Bi Adoni Al Nas Ashef Aleinu Chatas Shenoan Vesher Chatanu Al Nas Hi Kameis Asher Betzeisom Erechem Imo VeYochel Chatsi Besarov VeYitzak Moshe Hashem LeMor Kel Na Refan Allah. Okay, please heal her. Vayomer Hashem El Moshe. Okay, so Hashem says to Moshe, VeAvia Yarok Yarak Befaneha. Look. If her father were to literally spit at her, right? A spit over here, not literally, but reprimand her, rebuke her, right? You see often in Chumash when you see spit, it's a form of reprimand, it's rebuke, right? Bayibum is actually literally over there. But it's the same idea, it's reprimand, it's rebuke, right? El Moshe Avia Yarok Yarok Befaneha Halotik Alem Shivas Yamim Tisagir Shivas Yamim Mechutz HaMachaneva Achar Teyaseh. Look, if the father would spit at her, so then she's going to be sequestered for 7 days, right? Tikalim, put her in jail for 7 days. Here, I'm the one who is reprimanding her, meaning I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if the father were to spit at her and she would be put aside for 7 days, if I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am going to do it, so we should put her aside. Now, you would think if Hashem's, right, to the best of our understanding, Hashem is greater than the parent, right? So you would think then that Hashem's reprimanding of her for having spoken Lashon Hara, so her time out would be more. Okay, let's say, just for the sake of argument, because the Gemara is about to say it, two times more. Okay, somewhat of an arbitrary number, but let's just say it. Two times more, 14 days. Meanwhile, what's the result? No, only put her safe for 7 days. Okay, that's the concept of dayo. Meaning, even though we have over here Kal V'chomer, and even though the Kal V'chomer may allow us to extend and say, oh my gosh, Kadosh Baruch Hu's angry with her, put her aside for more, put her in time out longer, dayo. Okay.
Right, you
can't do it. So, right, Kal V'chomer L'shechina Arba Asar Yom. Right, I'm sorry, let me do the Gemara inside again. Rameir lo darish le dayo. Rameir doesn't hold to the concept of dayo. V'daraisi, detanya. Midin kavachom ekeitza v'yamar shama moshe v'aviyah yorok yorok b'faneha kavachom or l'shchina arba asar yom. Right, here the Gemara says 14 days. Again, as I mentioned, that in of itself, what's 14 days? Okay, but still, just right now the idea, the basic concept. Ela dayo lavom in adin liyos ken adom. All right.
So you can't do it for...
You can't go beyond... Interesting, Tosus over here. Tosus tries to understand why we went there, why we went 14 days. So, Rabbeinu Tam, interesting, Rabbeinu Tam, it's the second Tosus on the page. He quotes the Gemara Nid that we're all familiar with. Shlosha Shutfim Ba'adam, HaShakarish Baruch Hu, Nosem Bo Asar Dvarim Keneged Avi V'Imo. Right, the Gemara Nid says that Hashem inputs the same amount as the parents in terms of the formation of the fetus. Okay? No, again, no, don't fully understand all this, but the idea, however, of the ratio of God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being equivalent to mother and father. So, okay, so if we go with that ratio, right, if Hashem equals mother and father, so then if father is half of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, the Rabbeinu Tam is just trying to explain why the Gemara went from 7 to 14. Right, another pshat... But it's not equal shares. In other words, everyone's not a 33% shareholder. Okay, okay, that, I mean, that's Rabbi Chaim Afarsh. I mean, I didn't have a little memory. Kavachom l'shchina la olam dechamur kol kach. Look, Rabbi Chaim, right, who's quoted every now and then in Tosfos, not right one of the Balei Tosfos. So Elanaka Yudal Kenegeshtei has geiros. The Lomat Sina Yosef Mishnei has geiros. Rabbi Chaim says, look. You really can't, he doesn't like Rabbeinu Tam, you can't really talk in numbers in terms of Hashem is twice as much, it doesn't work that way. It just happens to be that in the world of Hezger, we don't, two is a maximum. Right? When you go through your Parsha of Tazria Mitzorah, we never find Hezger more than 2 weeks. So here, it's just, in sentencing guidelines, right? They tell the judges, right? American law. They tell the judges, right? This is the maximum. So here in sentencing guidelines for a mitzorah, so the maximum is 2 weeks. So, right? Rabbeinu Chaim says that's how we got to 14 days because that's the maximum in terms of sentencing guidelines. Okay, fine. Again, but the basic point over here is the point of daya, right? That you can't extend it beyond. So the Gemara now is bothered. So Rabbi Meir, how did you just do that? You went from shechita of animals to shechita of birds, which is fine. That's a good kavachomer. And then you want to extend it to malik of birds, but you have your rules of daya. You can't. All right. And from this point forward, that was the easy part of today's daf. That was the fun part of today. That was the fun part of today's daf, right? Just the concept of kavachomer and the basic concept of daya. And what the Gemara now do from here until really the end of the perek, which I'm already admitting we're not going to get to, is it's going to basically say you're right. It's not really a kavachomer that Rabbi Meir is using. It's really a drasha. And again, I mentioned this a number of times. It's so interesting that in the Mishnayos, right, you see the Tanaim arguing and they're presenting their positions, but it's not really their argument in the Mishnayos, are not really their position. Meaning, they hold what they hold, but not it's for the reasons not being offered. Right, just a couple of days ago, we had that with Rabbi Yoshua. Right, Rabbi Yoshua says that an ola turns into a chatas. And in the Mishnah, he never says it. He never utters it. He goes through arguments and kavachomers, but he never actually says it. Here also, it's kind of strange. It's interesting. Where Rav Meir, he holds Malika is going to be Matahir. It's going to prevent the bird from being an Avela. Just not for the reason that he gave in the Mishnah. For a different reason. Okay.
Oh, but he did say that?
Did he? No, in other words, in the dialogue in the Mishnah, the dialogue is a dialogue. He said it.
Yes.
But after the Gemara fleshes out, you know, there's this concept of Dayo, and Rav Yossi said to him, there's this concept of Dayo. So it's not that Rav Meir agrees. You're right, there's a concept of Dayo. So now the Gemara is going to give us the quote-unquote real reason behind Rav Meir. Okay? And I'm just pointing out, it's strange, it's interesting, and I don't have a good explanation in terms of why in the Mishnayos presents for us an argument which really is not his argument. It's his meaning, I'm sure he said it, but it ultimately when the day's over, it's not the real reason behind it. Right? I guess what I'm trying to say is that sometimes they conceal the real reasons behind what they're saying. Okay. Okay. So it's based on a drasha. The pasuk says, "Zos taras abehema v'ha'of." These are the laws of animals and birds. So it sounds like the laws are equated between animals and birds. Equated? What's equated? So first of all, how it conveys tumah, it's different. They're different. Animals convey tumah through contact and through carrying. Birds convey tumah through eating. In fact, they're mutually exclusive. Right? Birds give off tumah by eating. Animals do not give off tumah by eating the dead carcass. Yeah. By the way, it's just a neat trick. How are you eating?
Right.
How are you eating without touching? But the Gemara says, hey, right.
G2.
Right. G2.
And G2.
Thank you, doctor.
And the nasal gas, you put a tube through the nose into the stomach, and you could crush the G2. Meat and pass.
No,
and
G2.
Nasal gas when you pass it down.
No, that is the
bird's
stomatomy.
They didn't have it in those.
All right. It has to be. It has to be an achila.
Toothpick.
Right? No. Let's go back with the Gemara suggestion. Someone fed it to you. Right. So Ela Lama Lach Ma Behema Davish Machshir La Achila Mitar Trevas Mitumasa Af Of Davish Machshir Be Achila Mitar Trefasa Mitumasa. Oh, so okay, fine. So you know they're not equated in terms of how they convey tuma. Oh, so you know how they're equated? They're equated in that the shechita is going to prevent it from being tame. Rav Yehuda, my time. So now, according to Rav Yehuda, what is the basis? Krashkach v'kadarish. So Rav Yehuda, who disagrees, he says that when you do malika to a bird, and the bird's a trefa, it will be a nevela. So he has another pasuk. Nevela trefa. He goes back to our Achrei Mos pasuk, right? The one that we discussed earlier this morning. Nevela trefa pasuk. I'm Rav Yehuda trefa lama namra. Now, this next bit of Gemara is so interesting. He says, But the Torah by birds, because as we've already established, that pasuk at the end of Perek Yud Ches, that pasuk is talking about birds. In Achrimos. So why is the Torah comparing a nevela and trefa by birds? Im trefa chaya. Now, just a little bit of background over here before we get to this. What is a trefa? So I can tell you for sure what is a trefa. A trefa is an animal or bird that has an internal organ which is punctured or severed. Okay, that's the basic. A lot of details, but that's the basic. Is a trefa going to live?
Could.
Okay, so that's the machlokus and the Gemara and Chulin. Right? There is one opinion, which seems to be the opinion we accept, that the trefa is eno chaya. Meaning, it's got a... Right, it's
got,
it's not only it's going to die within 12 months, right? A trefa ain't a chaya, right? That's the very nature of a trefa because of its injury, so it's not going to make it the year. Trefa ain't a chaya, and there's another opinion that says no, that even though it's a trefa, even though legally it's a trefa, but still it's possible that it could live for more than 12 months. Okay, when we get to Chulin, we'll see this machlokus more fleshed out. It's a difficult machlokus to understand. It's a machlokus of Metzius. All right, but just for now, know that that is subject to a debate. So the Gemara says, look, the Torah, when it talks about birds, it says nevela and trefa. I don't understand. What's the Torah gaining by telling me nevela trefa? Im trefa chaya, hare nevela amur. Look, if the trefa is going to live, okay, but eventually, if and when it dies, it's a nevela. So what do you gain by calling it a trefa? It's a pretty good question. What do you gain? And im trefa eino chaya, hare bechlal nevela. And look, and if a trefa is not going to live, so hare bechlal nevela, so it's a nevela. Now it sounds like from the Gemara, strap up for this one. It sounds like from the Gemara, it's a nevela. And from what point? Sounds like it's a nevela, like right away.
In the beginning.
Meaning the moment that it is it's a trefa, it's now currently going to be a nevela.
That's too much.
Yeah. Now, it's right. It certainly sounds like from the Gemara. I mean, if that's the way we're going to go, so the El Alahavi trefa. I'm sorry. Right, Hare nevela amur bepasukim shemesam mesam im trefa ena chashuv achaya harehi. Look at Rashi. Sorry, Rashi Hare Nevela Mura. The pasuk Kevin Shemesa Misnavelas Mimisasa. V'im Trefa Eina Chashuv Achaya. If the Trefa is not considered alive, Harehi Mishash Nitrefa Bechlal Nevela. The moment that it becomes Trefa, it's going to be a Nevela. Well, we're talking about birds. Remember, this pasuk that we're quoting over here is a bird pasuk. So,
so how do you see the inside of the bird?
It's
not right. No.
Wing or broken foot.
Because it certainly sounds from Rashi this way, and Tosos has over here, the bottom Tosos on the page, really has real trouble with this Rashi. It sounds like it's going to be a trefa / nevela the moment it's nitrefa, the moment it gets this puncture. If you know about it, which meaning, right, and you certainly can, you see it got attacked by a wolf, and it got pierced, and the pierce goes right through the stomach of the bird, and it, right. If you know it's a trefa, immediately it's a nevela. Now, one of our most basic rules, here, I'm just paraphrasing what Tosa's point is. One of our most basic rules when it comes to giving off tumma is that that's only off a dead animal.
Yeah.
Right? Meaning, what the Gemara is entertaining over here is this idea that, right, that if it's a trefa, and a trefa is eino chaya, and it's going to die within 12 months, well, okay, the Gemara basically says it. Harehi bechlal nevela. It's now a nevela. Meaning now, even before it's actually dead, it's going to give off tumma while it's walking around?
It's only if you eat it, though, right?
As a basic rule, right, as a basic rule, we never find that. Okay, so... Again, just look at the bottom Tosus over here, where he discusses it, he struggles with it.
Nevela, by definition, has to be dead.
No. And what essentially the Gemara is saying, and certainly this is the way Rashi sounds like the Gemara is saying, is that it is. Meaning the moment it's a trefa, it's dead. Even though it's not going to actually stop running around until
impending death makes it death.
Right. Impending death is death. And again, by the way, don't globalize this whole discussion, because we are only discussing the laws of Nevela right now. We're not discussing death on the...
Only in case of parents.
Right, right. Don't globalize this discussion, but still, it's Ella Nevela.
A defective birth can have two more.
That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. Ella Lahavi Trefa Sheshachta Shemetama. Ah, okay, fine. So, in other words, so what Rav Yehuda is bothered by is, what are we gaining by the Torah describing it as Trefa and Nevela? If Trefa lives, so when it dies, it's a Nevela. If Trefa's not going to live, so it's a Nevela immediately.
So no Malika is going to do
so that. Before Malika. So in other words, what's the Torah doing over there? Ella lahavi Trefa sheshachta shemetama. So you know what the Torah is doing over there? It's telling you that the Trefa was shechted. It's still going to give off Tumah. Okay? This is what Rav Yehuda does with the Pasuk. This is why the Torah talks about Trefa and Nevela. To teach us that even as a Trefa, even with a Shechita / Malika, either one of them, it's still going to give off Tumah.
Basic question. I thought that if something was already damaged, you cannot bring it to the basement as an offer.
Okay, fine, but first of all, we're talking about the world of Trefa. You don't know. You don't know that the bird was a Trefa. A bird might have ingested a needle, and the needle pierced through, and you have no idea. You don't know. So, and so that's the basic point of Rabbi Yehuda.
If you don't know, then you do Malik on it, then it's fine.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, I understand.
Beforehand, then you're
I understand, but right now we're just establishing the basic idea that even though you're shechting a bird or malikin a bird or either one of them, it's not going to save it from being a nevela. How do we get to that? How did Rabbi Yehuda get to that position? Basically, the Torah's comparison of nevela and trefa.
What level of tumah does that?
What level of tumah? It's an av tumah. It's a source of tumah. It's like any other source of tumah.
Like sheretz.
But again, the way it conveys tumah is going to be different. But it's still an av. It's still a source of tumah. So amale rav shizbi elami ata. So now, okay, this gemara is coming up. We're going to be extraordinarily complicated because essentially what we're going to do now is we're going to see, does this format work when we have nevela and trefa, when the Torah compares the two, all of a sudden it gives us license to compare the two. So let's go through this next bit of gemara. Rather quickly. So what you're going to use the same process over there when the Torah describes the forbidden fats of a nevela, the forbidden fats of a trefa, which by the way, the forbidden fats, you're not allowed, I keep still calling them forbidden fats because they are. They're only forbidden to eat. You're allowed to get benefit from them. So, and the point over there is that if I shecht a trefa, that the chalev, that the forbidden fats are going to be tahor, mechlal dehim etam'ah. But if you're doing that, you're making it sound like, oh, you know, chalev give off tumah. As a rule, chalev doesn't give off tumah. We know that in the world of animals, you shech the trefa, it does not give off tumah, ever. Right? In birds, we're having the discussion, but by animals, there's no discussion to have. It is going to be a fundamental assumption that when you shech an animal, even as a trefa, it does not give off tumah. Ela trefa mi baile lemute tumea. Mi sheish be mina trefa, yata zuzusha in be mina trefa. So the Gemara says, okay, so you know what Trefa Nevela equation is coming to tell you? That this whole discussion is only relevant to kosher animals. Not to not kosher animals, not kosher animals. There's no distinction between Trefa and non-Trefa. Okay? So the Gemara says, if you want to do that, meaning if the Nevela Trefa equation is to tell you, I'm only talking about kosher species, so you could go back to birds, and you could do the same thing. Oh, nevela trefa? That's just coming to tell you that we're talking about kosher species, not non-kosher species. Of tame le Rav Yehuda min nevela nafkale, the Tanya. So the Gemara says, no. Non-kosher birds not giving off tumah, Rabbi Yehuda has a different pasuk for that. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Amar Yochalte Niblas of Tamei Metamei Beganim Mebeis Abliat Tamei Lomar Nevela Utrefa Lo Yochal Mish Isurim Mishum Baltochal Nevela Yatzezesh Ein Isurim Mishum Baltochal Nevela Ela Mishum Baltochal Tamei. So the Gemara says he has another drasha to tell me that this tuma is not off non kosher birds. Hainami Tepukle top of Ayin Amud Aleph. Mi vechelav nevela, mish isur mishum bal tochal chelav nevela yatzazusha ein isur mishum bal tochal chelav nevela. So the Gemara says that method of drasha, same thing we could do over here. Chelav nevela, we're only talking about where the chelav is asr because of the isur bal tochal. So elam mishum tamei. I'm sorry. Baltocha chelav nevela ela mishum tamei ela high treifa mi baila suye chaya. So the Gemara says, okay, treifa in the animal department is there to exclude a wild animal. Sakadat chamina mi shechaba asr v'sara muter yatsuzu shechaba v'sara muter by wild animal by a chaya. You know you're allowed to eat the forbidden fats of a wild animal. They're not forbidden, right? They're permissible. So once you know that, so I might have thought that the chelav of the chaya is going to, if the animal dies, is going to be tamei. Kamash malan, that's the chiddush. Okay, good. Okay, that last part was a little bit tricky. Okay, where are we right now? Again, basic machlok is between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. If I do malika to a bird, am I going to prevent it from being a nevela? So Rav Yehuda says, yes, you will. Because malika is basically shechita. In the Mishnah, he learns it out through Kal v'chomer.
Rav Meir.
He learns it in the Mishnah, he learns it out from Kal v'chomer. The Gemara says it's not really Kal v'chomer because of the rules of Dayo. It's really based on a drasha. We are right now trying to... For Rav Meir, actually, the drasha was pretty smooth. What about Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda says that when you do malika to a bird, if the bird is a treifa, the bird is going to be an avela. The malika didn't accomplish anything. How does he know that? So the Gemara learns it out through a drasha, the nevela treifa equation. The Gemara is now trying to see what if I take that nevela treifa equation and try to plug it in other areas of halacha. And the Gemara has been basically working with that. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll finish the 7th parak, Mirtz Hashem. We'll start the 8th parak and we'll make our catch up.
Why can't you stop the clock?
limited my abilities. The learning we do this morning is Aliyah Neshama from Mishal Ben Yaakov. Rabbi Chananya Ben Akash, Amar Tzikosh Baruch Hu Zaki, Sofi Chachir Ben Tormitz, Shanem Arnei Chafetz, Amantikoy Yagdil Torvi Adir.